to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on a very special episode of Minority Corner.
Okay.
Well, they're all special.
What do you got?
Really?
They are always special. What you got?
A special episode of Minority Corner. Well, and okay, I've got, first, before we get into the corner, I have a story that you just got to hold onto your butts. It's...
Okay, I'm gripping it.
Game night got crazy recently. So, yes. And Bette Midler, I read the room at Pride. I have some notes for her performance at a Pride. And then in my main event, I'm going to give you all a list of things and plans, action plans that you can do, even today, this week, of what you can do to help close the camps, to get these camps shut down. I know some of us are feeling like, what can I do? Don't worry, Minority Corner, we got you.
We got you good. I'm coming in hot, talking about how anthropology is racist.
Oh, okay.
Simple, straight to the point.
Wow, okay. Anthropologists, you know what? Calm down and listen. You might learn something.
You better check yourself. We're also going to talk about a little bit about Black Ariel.
Ooh, keep singing, keep singing.
Keep singing, keep singing.
I should be Ursula. Put me in drag. It'll be cute.
Melissa McCarthy beat you to the punch.
Damn it, whatever. Just she's got to walk down some stairs sooner or later, and I'll be right there, showgirl style.
Ooh, you better watch out.
All right, let's get this episode.
Let's do it.
Are we doing this show?
We're doing this. This is happening now. I think we are actually recording right now.
I guess we're not recording. And we're back.
I'm back. Sorry.
Ooh, in and out.
Just a quick little blip. Had to do my hellos, and I had to say my goodbyes.
Hellos and goodbyes real quick. It's just the aloha episode. Are we coming and going? And we're not in Hawaii, but we're just aloha goodbye. There's another word in another language that means this, like, two different things. Is it shalom?
Yeah, I think shalom means peace and hello.
See, I be doing it.
Yeah, you be knowing.
2 points for James. Not even a minute into the episode, I'm already racking up the points. Winning.
Don't bring back winning. We don't need that right now.
What? Winning? I can't win? Can't we both be winners?
But that was like the Charlie Sheen thing.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. I did not know that. Winning.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Not what I associate with him. I associate something else with him. Crazy.
Well,
and,
Denise
Richards, who I love because
she's doing a great job on Real Housewives.
I didn't realize she was on. I was just because I was at a party. Oh, and this actually segues towards the thing that I want to talk to you about. So I was at this party. I was at a game night at a friend's house. And they were playing Drop Dead Gorgeous in the background, which I love. One of my favorite movies.
It is on, I feel like it's trending right now.
Yes, it's streaming because Allison Janney and Eileen Barkin are working on a movie together. And they were oh my gosh, look, we're streaming. And they did like an Instagram post.
That's cute.
And what I love about Drop Dead Gorgeous, among many things, is that Denise Richards is just... The part of the funny is that it's set in, like, Minnesota. And Denise Richards is the only one who's like, I'm not doing an accent. And it's so funny because half the cast is. And also Brittany Murphy isn't because she's just like, I'm from New York. And But some of them are. It's just fucking hilarious. Drop Dead Gorgeous, give yourself the streaming gift. And watch
I know.
It.
I need to watch it again. I haven't watched it in a minute. And like, I love all of our Midwestern listeners, but I do have to say that accent, I will always remember going to Spain when I was like 14 and we went with a group from Minnesota.
Oh.
And one of the moms was walking through mud and she was like, oh no, my new tenors. And
it's great. You're like getting sold. Well,
it's the best.
And so actually, Drop Dead Gorgeous changed the way that I speak. Have we talked about this before?
No.
Because I did not notice this until my friend Gavin, who I'm going to go see when I am in Barcelona, coming up soon. He commented, I don't know if you know that, noticed this, but the way that I say the words like pants and ants, like any A-N word, which does not make sense because that, is that how we say it in California? No.
Pants. We, pants.
Pants. Like I have an extra bit of an ant onto it, but you just
are
say
you
it.
Pants.
Yes.
Pants.
And it's, stop it. I didn't realize this until Gavin's like, why do you talk like that? And I was like, and it took me a long time and many a drunken, drugged out night.
Interesting.
For me to realize the piece together of like, oh my God, it's because of Drop Dead Gorgeous because I was so obsessed with that movie when I was a kid and I had it on DVD. I'm like, hi, I'm Amber Atkins and I'm proud to be an American. Is that for me or for my gown? And I thought it was so, see, I just said, and you hear that? It. God.
Yeah. Wow, I know. Really pick it up.
And I was so, thought it was so funny. I was like, oh my God, they talk so funny. You know, you start doing something just sort of like as a joke. And then
it
becomes your life. Like when I used to say totes my goats for fun, or even just the word totes, and now I say it all the fucking time.
It just like, wormed its way into your lexicon.
And then it just becomes a part of your life and it's not a game anymore. It's not funny. It's who you are. It's you. So be careful when you're doing something for shits and giggles because
it might become you.
Yeah.
You become the giggle.
The shits become you. I feel like that's a movie. Like Death Becomes Her.
What is this, like Us or something? What is
it? The shits become you.
Which I just watched. Just watched Us.
Oh, can I tell you? You're going to have to hold onto your button, okay?
Okay.
Because this story, I appreciate that. I'm so grateful that I'm a comedian because I can find the funny in this. And as it was happening and I was picking my job off the ground, I was like, holy shit, I have new stand-up comedic material. Can't wait for open mic on Friday.
Okay, tell me.
So I'm at game night and I'm at game night and we're playing Adult Taboo.
Oh my God. Okay. So just a bunch of butts and dick jokes.
Well, I mean, apparently this is the adult version and stuff, right?
Yeah.
There's like adult words or whatnot. And so if you taboo, there's a word at the top that you're trying to get your team to guess. So I just heard it. Tap. Like, why am I saying it like that? Sorry. Now I'm hearing myself. There's a word at the top. And that you're trying to get your team to guess, and there's like five words below it that you can't say. Otherwise, like you have to go on to the next word. Just explaining
taboo.
I'm explaining for some of our international listeners might not know.
Okay, that's very kind of you. Taboo is one of my favorite party games, by the way.
So the clue is.
Oh no! Here we go.
God. The clue is, it's a word that most people don't, like a lot of people don't like. And so we're guessing like, sausage. I may have like said, we're like, you know, sausage, the C word. And the girl next to me just goes, nigger.
Whoa.
Should have prepped. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I didn't want to grease you up for any of the listeners for this at all. I wanted you to go on the ride that I had this weekend. White girl, should have prefaced it. I'm the only white person in the room.
She didn't say N-word?
No!
Wait, and when you said the C-word, did you say C-word or did you say the word?
So I said the C-word, but for the listener's sake. Hey, different historical meanings, though. Different historical meanings.
As someone who meets at that cross section.
Sure, yeah. But I would say that one did not, wasn't a term used necessarily in slavery.
Yeah. They're both taboo words.
Hence the game taboo. But I would not necessarily put them in. I don't say the C word, hence why I did censor myself. But it did get said during the game of taboo. But she says nigger, and we all. It's like a pin drops. A pin just drops, and then like. We're trying to continue on with the round, but it's like we just got punched in the head. We're like,
I would have stopped that game right then and been like, why didn't you say the N-word?
Too competitive. I was not there to make friends and neither was anybody on my team. But here's the thing. So at the buzzer happens, we don't get the word. And then the guy is like, Heather, the word we were looking for was moist. I then came to this realization and this reminder of myself that, like, honestly, anytime I'm going to a party and I look around and if it's mostly white people, I do sort of prep, I lube prep my brain that, you know what? I might hear the N-word tonight. Because I feel like sometimes that, like, sometimes for, like, for white folks, it's like, I think it's they just want to say it because they know they can't. So it's like getting cookies out of, like, the cookie jar. So they're waiting for, like, they're waiting for either, like, a rap song or to date a black guy or a game night to see if they can maybe get away with doing it.
But it's like a couple of things. Let's just break this down. A couple of things.
Yes.
The first thing I want to point out, whenever you slap the word adult, and I hate this, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Whenever you slap the word adult on top of something else, it usually means sexy.
Yes, not.
And last time I checked, the N-word is not sexy.
Not for, you know what, not for, not. For some people, it is. And what I would say, get to look into that. Like the people
maybe
who designed
that. Maybe talk to your therapist about that.
The people who designed the Underground Railroad game, they maybe think it's sexy to call his late black lady that. So get that checked out. Don't do a show about it. Don't do a show about it and make me have to come and watch it. Go see a therapist.
They don't even have the N-word in the fucking, what's the game that
Taboo.
The one that's like supposed to be like cutting edge and crazy.
I said to Heather afterwards, like, Heather, why would that have been in the card deck?
What did she say?
Oh, it gets crazier. She's like, it gets crazier. So game night continues on. We play like three different games. And as the night goes on, Heather gets like just like quieter and quieter. I don't think about it after like 20
minutes. This is rough for me because one of my best friend's names is Heather. And she listens to the podcast and she is amazing.
It's not you. It's not her. It's not a Heather that Aneke and I both know. This Heather that I just met. This Heather is literally the J-Lo to my Mariah Carey and I do not know her.
I don't know. I mean, you extra don't know her now. I would be erasing even previous memories of her if she just freely says the N-word like that.
It gets, when there's stakes involved, when it's either a rap song or she's dating a black guy, she's playing Taboo, all bets are off. So here's how it gets crazier. So the game continues, the night continues, and also like, okay, there's so many points because also like I feel like I keep getting like tricked. See, I'm in New York and I'm assuming that like I'm going to be around diverse places and most times I am, but what happens is I get tricked because I'll have like a white friend and I'm assuming while they're living in New York, they're friends with me. I'm sure they have diverse friends. And then I go, surprise, it's just you. And I'm like, how the fuck is this? I'm in New York fucking city. What the fuck?
Because of segregation, man.
Oh, yeah.
Self-segregation. I'm sorry, white people. Y'all like to hang out with yourselves.
And that's the thing. Look and see. And part of me, oh, mind you, I had just gotten there like 10 minutes ago. So I also wondered, did she remember I was even there? Like, and what would have happened if I wasn't there? Would there have been like...
I'm sure it would have just been glazed on by and then just some whisperings of like, ooh, that was awkward. And then that's about it.
So
we're lucky.
This is why y'all need more POC
black friends.
If you are having a party and you look around, it's just white people and one POC person, there's something wrong. And you need to go relook at your life. Your roster needs to change. That is not okay in 2019. You need more POC friends.
You know what, James? I'm going to up the ante a little bit more, though. Because when it comes to the N-word, I see you non-black POCs. Y'all be using that word, too. And that's not okay.
No, you can't use that. Either.
You are not
you
black.
Can't. You're not. I see
stop
a lot.
It.
Yes. I see a lot of Latinx people using it here in New York, and y'all need to stop. In fact,
stop
I was
it.
Walking behind a guy here in New York City for like 5 minutes as like young kid, and he kept calling his friend my nigga. And I'm like,
was he at least if he was black Latinx, I'm okay with that because they're
was.
Black. But if you are just sorry. If you have no African heritage in your past,
you don't get
no,
to say
sir.
It.
Stop
I didn't
it.
Check his 23andMe, which he should be carrying. People need to be carrying that around at all times so that way they can verify if they can say the word or not. Mm-hmm. Okay, so back to Lady H. So our friend doesn't get confused. This wasn't
who
you.
Would never, ever in a million years.
Not even to win a game of Taboo.
She would sacrifice that.
Even if it was the word, I think she would like burn it out the window.
She
like, we're never
be
playing
like,
this game again.
This game is awful.
and write a very strongly worded letter to the makers of the game and congressperson and probably host a protest. So
I was going
to
say stage a protest.
Yes, that Heather, we love. This one, It gets worse. So as the game, I don't, after 20 minutes, like, I'm moved on. I'm eating snacks and drinking a nice little, like, wine mixer that
That's
my friend
nice
made.
Of you. I would have been heated.
I just, because I, like,
I would have ruined approaches. That party.
I was like, two approaches. And that's the thing. It puts me as the one black person.
I know.
In the situation of like, am I? And actually, I did. I made some sort of comment. I forgot. And I think the host was trying to just brush it under the rug. And he's a close friend of mine. I was like, fine. I will not make this the education, the episode the whole family should watch tonight.
I mean, that's not. You were just trying to have a party. I was trying to go to a party.
Yes. And not have to maybe like educate some people on why they can't use the N-word during Taboo. So. The game, the night goes on, we start playing other games,
yes.
And as the night goes on, I notice, like, I kind of barely notice in the background of my peripheral, Heather's just getting, like, more and more quiet. Like, at first, we were, like, giggling a little bit, and then she gets more, because we're on the same team, and we won, and okay. She gets more and more quiet, and then her eyes just get, like, redder and redder
Stop
as the
it.
Night
she
goes
starts
on.
Crying, no,
and
bitch.
I just assumed that maybe she was getting stoned. I was like, oh, I guess she's getting stoned. And she's getting quieter. Her eyes are getting redder and redder. And
no,
finally,
bitch.
I decide that I'm going to leave. I'm like, I'm tired. I'm going home. And then I realize she comes up. She's like, can I talk to you before you go?
Bitch. No, bitch.
And I realize her face is wet.
I would have been like, bye, sit with it yourself.
Hallway and have to console
you
her white
console this bitch?
Tears. I had
no,
to console
I'm sorry.
Her white
I'm sorry.
Tears.
No.
I just
no. So I'm mad. I am mad.
How poo on her for her? What she needed to do was to take her lumps and not. She needed to apologize to me, but not make it a big that I have to. You said
about
it
her
you own
about
it.
Her.
And she's like, of course, I heard the greatest hits of I'm not like this. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't say that word. Why is it on
Here's
the forefront
a couple
of
things,
your brain?
Lady H. Okay, one, just tell her next time. Be like, hey, can you listen to this podcast? Because Neke is going to take over right now. One, if you can shout out nigger like that in the middle of a party like it ain't no thing, that word is marinating in your brain. That word has been sloshing around in there, and I now know that it's easy for you to say it because someone in your life says it all the goddamn time.
Yes.
Two, don't weaponize your fucking tears because it's been used for a century. Don't do that shit. Don't make the victim into the absolver, the person who's going to now make you feel better. Your ass should have just sat with it. Like, I'm talking to her, not you.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Honestly, next time, and it will be a next time that it happens because if she could do it that easily at the game of a Taboo, then I hope whoever is the person that's on the other end doesn't say shit to her. She doesn't deserve it. She needs to sit with it and feel guilty for an eon so she can never, ever have to deal with that shit again because that... Oh, God, it makes me so upset. It makes me so upset. It makes me so upset. That's the one taboo. There are a lot of gray areas, James. There are a lot of gray ass areas in the world.
Yep.
That is not a gray area. That is a word. That is one of the one words that everybody knows you can't use.
And the clue was most people don't like this word.
And it's most.
Like, it's just most. Unless if it's like most people don't like this word, but some people do. Like, what? Why? How did you get there? Yeah. Oh, God. That's why, like, for me, it's going into comedic. I'm turning this terrible situation and pain into comedy.
It's good.
I was like,
to.
Ooh, Heather is going to be my punchline. Thank
that
you.
That lady's grandfather says the N-word all the goddamn time. You know, they probably call Brazilian nuts nigger toes in her house.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Have you heard that?
Nope. I just choked on air when you just said that. I just choked on the air.
That is... One of those things that I found out, somebody told me that that's literally what they call Brazilian nuts in the South.
Wow, that's not what they should call those. Brazil, you should stop. Brazil, so, don't pass go. Go straight to jail. And like,
not in Brazil, it's in the South.
Normal
people call them Brazilian nuts. Like,
okay.
Normal people are like, oh, it's a Brazilian nut. You go down to the deep South and they're like, y'all want some nigger toes?
Oh, God. And like, why would you want to eat those? That doesn't even sound advertising to me. It's like you going out of your way.
I can't even when I heard that, I was shocked. Yeah. But now I can't help but giggle because it's so awful. It's so awful. It's the worst thing ever in my life. And people are so casual about it.
Ugh, good God. Wow. Well, that's that. On a different, lighter note, I lost her. She's gone. She's on those toes. On a lighter note, keep singing, Black girl. Keep singing.
Oh, I'm so excited for this.
Keep singing. We're going to have a Black Ariel.
Your headphone speakers does not like that. You have Ursula headphones.
Oh, but that happens, you know what? In the same thing happens to me, to you.
So when I sing, it like shorts out?
Yeah. Like it gets all weird. Yeah. But Black Ariel.
I'm really excited about this. I think Bailey.
Is not that to be confused with Holly Berry.
Is it Holly Bailey or Haley Bailey?
Haley Bailey. Holly Bailey.
Chloe and Haley.
Yes. And Holly. Poor Chloe. Ugh.
You know, she got grownish. She's, you know, she did an audition for Did they both audition for Ariel or was she like, well, okay, sister, you can go and do that one?
I imagine that because they're both on grownish. And yes. they're not even going to Olsen twins this. I guess you kind of outgrow
you
that.
You kind of age out. Yeah.
I guess after a while, it's like, no,
that's
only
for
one of
babies,
you has to.
James.
Yeah. And because there's like work laws where they can only work like one of them so much. That's why they love getting twins. But
right.
Adults,
yeah,
it's
for
just
baby
like,
work.
No,
they don't
which
give a fuck about
you?
Adults. They're like, like Tia and Tamara had to figure it out.
Can
one
my sister
real...
come too? No, you're more talented. Okay.
So, I'm excited. Yeah. I like this because one, I like the fact that it is. There's that racist thing about, oh, Black people don't swim and blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck yeah, bitch. We're mermaids. Yes. We are ruling that ocean.
And also to like, again, all of these like awful stereotypes, they have roots. Black people were not allowed on beaches.
Yes. Or in communal pools.
Pools during white flight were drained. So again, back
we
off.
We swim.
Yeah.
We swim.
I swim, you swim, we swim.
I mean, I don't swim, but...
Oh, some of us do.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like to sit in a body of water. That doesn't mean that I don't like water. I'll be a mermaid sitting on a rock. I've always wanted to get a mermaid tattoo, but then I was
like... And
now
like, you can.
It was going to be a Black mermaid too, but I'm not a swimmer, but I do like sitting in water.
And of course, again, the racist trolls are coming out and they're like, but Ariel's white. One, cartoon. Two... Yes. Why would you think that all, again, this is like how like white people like sometimes automatically assume that the default is white because they are assuming that all mermaids would be white.
Right.
For one, they don't exist. Two, why would you assume that only 25% of the world is white anyways? So.
I know. It's bullshit. They're like, the things that I think it's mostly Russian bots that are doing this because this is a dumb hill to die on.
This is a good guy. Oh, good. Nike, thank you for reminding me that they do love to get involved in the conversation and gaslight us.
For a dumb reason.
You're
right. And then two, a lot of the racist people or Russian bots have been talking about how it's...
True. Call it what it is.
It's a Dutch fairy tale, so this should be Dutch. But... hello, Sebastian was Jamaican,
yeah.
Dancing to calypso music down under the water.
That was some international waters. Those were some international waters. So
exactly. Let's play it how the music goes. And that is some Caribbean ass boogie down
that
Bronx
is.
Underneath the water.
That is true. Okay.
I'm into it. Well, but here's my other thing about Disney. P.S. Disney give us reparations.
This does not count. This is a nice step and gesture, but Ariel as Black does not count as your reparations, Disney.
You
we're still
owe us, Disney. Yeah. Remember blackface. So she has dreads.
Mm-hmm.
How's and she gonna she's get them gonna wet? Spend. Well, no, I. That's easy. Dreads are easy to get wet. Okay. But I think they picked her too because it's gonna be way easier to do CGI dreads under the water. Because half the movie's under the water.
Yeah, they're going to have to do some James Wan Aquaman stuff.
Yeah, so I feel like they're going to be like, oh, this is easier. We could just do CGI dreads. So I think, Disney, you ain't slick. I'm trying to be all like, ooh,
You know, they might actually just put her in a mocap suit, because this is what they did for what they did for Dark Phoenix, the movie that nobody saw, and you're waiting till for your next Delta flight to check it out. I'm not mad at you, because same, can't wait for my next flight. It's going to be a great movie. Great airplane movie. So,
I mean, you got a long flight coming up.
I have a long-ass flight to Europe, so let's do it, Jean Grey. But they put a shower cap on her head. All of her hair in the movie is CGI'd.
Oh, well, they did a good job.
Yeah. So I think that's what they might do to her as well, because it's probably just easier than like having any real hair. Like, no, just get rid of it. We'll fix it in post.
You know what? I love that.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Modern era. Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Oh, really quick. Real quick. Mm-hmm. Bette Midler, if you're listening.
Here we go.
When you're at Pride and at a gay dance party, read the room, Bette. Read the room.
What did she do?
Well, there was a surprise performance. There was all these World Pride, all these gay dance party events and stuff. And mainly everybody there, it's like 11 o'clock at night for like 6 hours. Everyone's there to like get their boogie on. Most are probably like drunk or on drugs. Like that's just what's going down. And Bette Midler like stops the DJ unt dance fun sexy time
to
music.
What, put on like Wind Beneath My Wings or some shit?
Well, first she gives a speech.
Okay.
And first of all, you're just the surprise performance, Bette Midler. So she gives a speech. Okay. And then people are like, what's happening? Why are we not dancing right now? I'm rolling right now. And so then she gives, and then she sings a slow song. And then she makes a lot of references to like, I am a no talented hack. And I was like, oh, that's a callback to that tweet that Trump sent. So you get joke if you remember that thing that happened 3 weeks ago. But at midnight, at this gay dance
world
dance.
Nobody's going to be paying attention.
At the Javits Center, which is like this hugest like convention center in New York City. Yeah. So you know who she got showed up by?
Who?
Stomp. So then Stomp comes on. And I would have thought, so we were all rolling, because they had all these surprise performances that nobody asked for. We're like, just play
the
music.
This is a mess.
And that we paid like $200 for. It was an expensive event.
Right,
but like, we didn't
pay
for special performances. We just paid for this venue and dance space.
Oh,
and
my God.
Stomp comes on, and we're rolling our eyes. But let me tell you, Stomp was
Stomp's
the
good.
Shit. Because
Stomp
think about this.
Fun.
All of house music is rooted in those stomp-a-stomp beats.
It's percussion.
Yes, and so it had energy, and everyone was like, everybody was rolling on the stomp. Like, they were just like, ooh, this is my shit. Banging on the trash can, jumping on the streetlight. Getting it.
Okay, well, I just have to circle back to Bette Midler real quick, because there's an allegory here that connects her with... That I can't even say her name, because my Heather is too precious to me.
She made it about her.
No, even more connected, because Bette Midler still. I still love Bette Midler, which is really annoying to me.
Yes.
Tweeted.
Ugh.
She tweeted, "Women are the N-word." The world.
Yes.
Which is quoting that fucking Yoko Ono song, which is fucked up too.
I'm
like, of course, Bette Midler. Mm. So she would be the one screaming nigger at a party.
Playing Taboo. Now can I say, I could say it, right? I struggle too. You're right.
And she used to dress up like a mermaid during her performances at the gay bathhouses.
Shit has
it's all
come
connected.
Full circle.
All connected.
I do want to give snaps to Cyndi Lauper, because when Cyndi Lauper came on stage an hour later around 1 a.m., she knew the deal. She knew that we did not come here to see her, that she's there just to help elevate the party. And she just did dance remixes to all of her songs, like dance house remixes. So
Cyndi Lauper knows.
Midler. She knows.
Cyndi Lauper knows.
She's like, you all are not here to see me. Some of you probably won't even notice that I'm actually up here. You might think that they're just playing the CD, and so I'm just gonna sing some songs to help you have a good night. So,
oh my God, so good.
Them's my stories.
I love it. Should we go into the corners? I wanted to touch down on my car stuff, but we're on such a high note right now.
Okay,
let's go into the corners.
Maybe at the end we'll find a giggle about it.
Okay, are we going to your corner or my corner? I don't know.
We're going to my corner first, and
okay, what's on deck?
we're going to switch gears here. There's a lot of people who are feeling like, what can I do about the camps? And I'm going to give you some action items of what we can do to help close these camps.
Nice.
And I'm not talking about the summer camps.
No.
I'm talking about those detention center camps.
Yeah, concentration camps. Let's just
listen
call
up, Heather.
A spade what a spade is.
Not that, Heather. But you know who you are, Heather.
Lady H.
Hey, if you like your podcast to be focused and well-researched and your podcast host to be uncharismatic, unhorny strangers who have no interest in horses, then this is not the podcast for you.
Again, what's your deal? I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Our show's called Baby Geniuses.
And its hosts are horny adult idiots. We discover weird Wikipedia pages every episode.
We discuss institutional misogyny.
We ask each other the dumbest questions, and our listeners won't stop sending us pictures of their butts.
We haven't asked them to stop, but they also aren't stopping.
Join us on Baby Geniuses
every other week on MaximumFun.org.
Well, we're going to take a turn. I wanted to come in singing Under the Sea, but that's not appropriate. So
no,
I've got
to
put on.
We need to be serious. We got to be serious about this.
Sometimes it's hard to make those left turns.
I know it is, but
we're making
do
a
it.
Sharp left to do what's right. Ooh, you see what
Ooh, I like yeah. that. Okay.
Okay, so just some facts about what's happening, some information about what's happening at these concentration camps, because we're going to call them what they are.
Because that's what they are.
That's what they are. And actually, by the legal definition of what a concentration camp is, and I think that when we spend too much time arguing about, like,
semantics,
and we're not actually talking about the real problem, and that's just a detraction that I feel like conservatives are trying to use. So
I agree.
And the actual definition of concentration camps, these literally are concentration camps. And so Trump is actually using Fort Still. And Fort Still is the base that was used for Japanese Americans during World War II for our concentration camps. Yes.
God.
And it's a strategy to manage the influx in immigration coming to U.S. And so here's the thing with Fort Sill. These concentration camps are under the control of the Department of Homeland Security, but within the Department of Defense. So unlike ICE facilities, which allow site inspectors inside, these ones are military run. So we can't do site inspections, which is why I believe... I forget who. Someone was saying that they went down and they couldn't even get in there. I think it was like some politicians
was
had gone
AOC?
Down there.
I know AOC's been down there.
I think it was some of also the Democratic candidates who were running. Mayor Pete was on The View, and Kamala Harris, and a lot of them had gone down together. And they couldn't even like really get into the facilities. So that's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
And so the administration would conduct themselves in whatever way that they want without having any sort of oversight and any inspections. That's really dangerous. I'd also like to call your attention to in San Francisco. Judges were stunned by the administration's argument that children sleeping on concrete floors in frigid, overcrowded cells without soap or toothbrushes were being kept in safe and sanitary facilities as required by law. So they're saying, oh, they don't really need like soap and toothbrushes and yada.
What the fuck?
Like,
these are children.
Children and even human beings, like even if they were like grown-ass adults.
Able-bodied anybody doesn't deserve this. So
not at all.
And that extends to everyone that ricochets off of that level.
And this is, I kind of want to dig in here to the story a little bit before I depress you so much. And then you're like, what do I do? And I'm going to be like, I know exactly what you can do. So that's what I'm doing.
All right.
So ICE has been using solitary confinement as a first resort for detaining certain groups of immigrants. And that's been found in a study actually spanning over 5 years. So this is even past. This is both in Obama and Trump administration. So this has been a problem that's been going on for a while. And they've been using this as a tactic for using with people who have disabilities and people who are engaging in hunger strikes and LGBTQ+ detainees. So there's been 8,499 incident reports, half of which detailed solitary confinement stays of more than 15 days at a time. And notice that psychologists are they're saying in their study is being shown like solitary confinement should be listed as cruel and unusual punishment, which our prisons should not conduct themselves in because of the psychological damage that it does. It drives people crazy and leads them to commit suicide. there was this trans woman who was in there for supposedly was in there to protect her from the general population. But she then was in there for so long. She was placed in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day and given 1 hour to walk in a metal cage. In solitary confinement for a month. And again, remember, this was like just an undocumented immigrant. So I'm also
insane.
This is kind of insane for, didn't murder anybody. It just, they were an undocumented immigrant fleeing persecution from their country, which America probably had a hand in.
Hello. So,
and give us our poor, you're weak, you're tired. Let's look at that. So she had that at one point. She was trying to hang herself. Eventually has been released from the ICE center. She's released now, but she denies that she was ever given a choice to be in solitary confinement or not. Yes.
Jesus.
So that's happening within our U.S. soil
right now.
Trying to think of like when I would say that is okay, like somewhat okay.
This isn't even okay for criminals. People don't even like.
They're not terrorists. Not even saying I'm condoning it for terrorists, but it's like the way that we're treating these folks.
Yeah.
So this is terrible. It's depressing. Sometimes you're feeling like, what the fuck can I do? Don't despair. There are things that each and every one of us can actually do. And it's a long road ahead. And there's small things. There's big things. There's literally, like when we do the Maximum Fun Drive and we say that there's a level for everyone to get involved.
Yeah.
There's a level for everyone to get involved.
I love this.
In the work that we're about to do here. So
good.
I'm going to break this down into different lettered plans. And
spreadsheets.
there is one step. There's one step that we all have to take. And from there, just choose a plan. Choose the plan that works best for you.
All right.
Step one, pick a plan.
You're really breaking it down for us.
Because sometimes it's that easy. And I like to tell, like, this is what I use for when I'm feeling... when I'm feeling like I'm overwhelmed, I don't know what to do. The first step is always get up. For anything that you're trying to do, literally, because it's Newton's law of motion. Once you're up, the hardest part is to get off your butt. Up, and even if you're just over it, like the first step, get up, go to the computer, boom. And then Minerva, motion.
Oh, yeah.
Science takes over.
About. Yeah.
Momentum. That's the one. It's been a while since I had science. So it can feel very overwhelming. So I'm going to list a lot of different plans. Don't feel overwhelmed. Don't feel stressed. Channel that into action. I think about, like, I've been going through things. You've been going through things. But I am so blessed that I have not woken up in a cage. And
I think
that there's... You know, there's people there probably thinking like, Americans, you know, we have all these movies about us being heroes and being rebels and, you know, Star Wars, we're always fighting against the, you know, oppressive forces. And they're probably just thinking like Americans will wake up and do the right thing. And I think it's time for us to either A, live up to that, or there's those who are in there thinking like, damn, I guess Americans all think this way and hate us and don't like us. Well, let's prove those ones wrong. And the ones that are waiting for us, let's go and help them.
Okay.
So plan A, you can donate time or money for established organizations. So the great thing is you don't have to start this off on your own. There's already people out there who are doing the work.
I love this.
If you've got time, donate it. If you've got money, donate it. And there's organizations all over the country. Every little bit helps and they need our support. They mostly, and if you're a lawyer, they're looking for lawyers giving pro bono services as well.
I love it.
There are so many organizations. I'm going to link, the Texas Tribune published a list of organizations that are mobilizing to help immigrant children separated by their families. So I'll link that. There's also a tons of other organizations, United We Dream, the ACLU.
Yes.
The ACLU.
Doing the work.
They have a really impressive action page where you can actually, they separate it by organizations by cause and amount of time that you have to offer.
Oh, look at that.
So they're going to help you specific and also picking specific causes that you'd like to give, whether it's working with families or whatnot. So there's lots of that. So you've got that going for you.
Good.
There's also an organization called Races, and I forget what it stands for.
I donated to them, but I forgot what it stands for.
another great organization. I'm going to link their website to you as
easy
well.
Easy to donate. So easy. I did it. You can do it. Just do it.
And honestly, maybe your first step and maybe your first action plan for this week is just going to be able to research different organizations. And maybe it's like every week you give yourself a little, like, I'm going to spend 1 hour a week or 5 minutes a week or 10 minutes a week or whatever it is. You make it up for yourself that you're going to do something once a week.
Yeah, I like that plan. That's easy. Doable.
And there's also Lawyers for Good Government. They're on a mission to protect and strengthen democratic institutions, resist abuse of power and corruption, and defend the rights of all those who suffer in the absence of good government. And they publish a guide on what you can do through their organization to help immigrants. So them along, there's like, I'm not kidding, like 30 organizations. So I'm going to link the link to these and the Tribune, and you can find the one that's just right for you.
Love it.
Plan B. Yes. Get to the pharmacy for some emergency contraception. Oh, wrong list. Sorry.
What?
It's a different list. Plan B for some emergency contraceptions. I mean, there's so many lists I have for things that we need to, you know, protest and fight against. You know, it's hard to keep. They blur together sometimes.
Took me a minute to realize, but I get it. Okay. All right. Plan B.
Plan B. Participate in or organize a protest. So, Lights for Liberty, if you're not following them at Twitter, do it. They are at Lights, the number 4, Liberty. They're doing a lot of publicly organizations and protests. On Friday, July 12th, that's coming up. That's going to be, if you're listening to this on Friday, it's tomorrow. They're doing a vigil to end human detention camps. And they're having them all over the country. There's going to be one in El Paso, Texas, Homestead, Florida, San Diego.
A lot of places. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Also here in New York City, Foley Square, Washington, D.C., just all over. And if there's not one in your city, you can definitely get your people and your community together and you all can hold one and host one. Post it on social media so we can continue to get the word out about what's happening there. So
love it. Yeah.
Yeah, keep your eyes out for different protests and marches that are happening or rallies that are happening. And they need bodies and voices. So get out there and go.
Yes.
And it's arts and crafts. You get to make a fun sign if you're feeling inclined. There's like a lot of clever signs.
I mean, both of these two plans that you just talked about, donating and then also action with a protest, you can make them fun. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's depressing, but like I always say, and I've said this before on the podcast a million times, me and a group of friends get together once a month. We try to do it where we pick a designated amount of money that we all put into a pot for a cause. And then we then do a gift exchange. So we each get a little bit of something. So we
put
the same amount of money towards a gift and the same amount of money for a cause. And then that way you're hanging out with friends and you are donating for a better good, you know?
Totally. And you're even probably talking about some of the organizations that you're going, that you're trying to support.
So
educating yourself about these different organizations and like, you know, education just has a ripple effect and that just helps.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Plan C.
Yes.
Contact your Senate and House representatives, mayor, and local state reps. So this one comes up for pretty much every cause, and that's because it's so effective. And that's why people, for anything, it's so incredibly effective. That's what their job is, to listen to us, since we have to make our government work for us.
Amen.
And calling is the most effective between the three, but whatever you've got time for, maybe you'll alternate. Maybe this week you're sending an email. Maybe the next week you're calling. And it is more effective if you personalize your message. If you don't, there are templates out there, which we'll also link. Races has a really dope template. And also they have one where you just fill in a bunch of like, it's like a sort of a form that you fill out and it'll go out to your local state rep, I believe. So that makes it easy for you there too. But I will say, you probably have a lot of feelings around what's happening. And who better to communicate those to than your government officials?
Exactly.
So whether that's like, you probably have anger or sadness, whatever that is, write it down in a message, email it to them. Then you can even call them and just read them the exact thing that you wrote. Like, it doesn't need to be perfect. I think sometimes we put so many blocks in our head of like, this could literally take you 10 minutes.
Yeah, and there literally are elected officials. That's their job.
Yes.
To represent you.
And the more that they hear from us, then the more that they understand this, what they need to take action on. And we clog their workload so they can't do anything else except listen to this. And that's mm-hmm. what their focus has to be on.
So
and
true.
I'm also going to link usa.gov/local-governments has a great, if you go in there, it'll tell you all of your local officials. So your state reps, your Senate will give you all the information that you need. So we'll link that as well.
Perfect.
Yep. Yes. And there's also a link in this actually this article that I that got me into this direction here mm-hmm. is such a great article. It has like so much information. Like bookmark this thing, revisit it because there's it's from I will link this.
It. Okay, great.
Yes. I forget, but it's someone had posted this via Facebook, and it's actually like a blogger who's put all this stuff together, and it's really
perfect.
And there's hyperlinks to all kinds of stuff to
excellent.
How you can effectively talk to members of Congress, which was an article that was written by Emily Ellsworth, and finding contact. There's so many different like helpful tools to help you be successful, so it doesn't have to be as like overwhelming as scary as it might seem it can be. And remember, just take it bit by bit. Like every week, just give yourself like a little mini assignment of what you think you're going to do.
This is perfect the way you're lining it up. This is like making it palpable, because sometimes it just seems like it's overwhelming and too much and like, oh, what am I little me going to do? But the way that you're putting it down is the way that we're going to help fix this horrendous, awful, awful thing that's happening.
Because otherwise it's just in your head. And like you said, you're like, what am I going to do? But now you can start like kind of bit by bit. How do you wash an elephant one part at a time? And you create a personal strategy for yourself, which actually leads me to plan D.
Okay.
Be honest with yourself about what you have to offer.
Yeah.
So just taking some time and like writing down like what can I reasonably do? And
right.
I like this part too, because Tay Phoenix, who's an activist who's both Jewish and Latina, was suggesting write down your own personal bottom line, decide what you will do if it's violated. So it's also like, what is your breaking point? What is the moment when you're like, I'm leaving my job and I'm going down there to the front lines and I'm going to protest? Like, what is that point where it's like, you're the lobster in the boiling pot of water
and I have to
stop, you know? And I think it's good for us to know what it is for our own selves, and also just making a plan of like, you know, what you're willing to do. Will you take and hide persecuted people into your own homes? Will you make, and also just even like what we're going over, like what is your plan? What are the things that you're willing to do? Like, I'm willing to, you know, give 10 minutes a week, or I'm this, and creating an action plan for yourself. Just taking some time and actually sitting down and doing this.
Excellent.
Will make you, for one, feel like you're doing something, and two, will help you have a roadmap to start doing something.
Oh, I love that. That's really good.
Plan E, educate. This kind of goes with line with what you and your lady friends do when you all get together. So first of all, staying informed, like not burying your head in the sand. I think we need to keep our information coming as much as we possibly can.
Can't stress that enough.
Can't at all. And also, like, if you hear someone giving out incorrect information, correct them.
Yeah, you can do that tactfully. You could be like, oh, well, have you heard of it this way?
Yes.
Instead of like, no, you're wrong.
Because there's misinformation out there, and it's very important for us to make sure that we're just keeping everybody informed in the appropriate way. Mm-hmm. This is a really good, on the ACLU, we'll link this page as well. They joined forces with the Brooklyn Defender Services, and they've shared a Know Your Rights page for encounters with ICE.
Ah.
It's got a lot of helpful videos to understand your rights of what to do if ICE officials come to your home, and it breaks it down in different steps. So if they come into your home, what are your rights? If you have been arrested, what are your rights? And so definitely sharing those things out and probably watching them for yourself as well, so that way you can, if you see something and you can help, or you can help communicate that to anybody who you feel would need to know that information. But just be like a sponge of information and then spread that information out.
Yeah. I have to say I'm very proud of a lot of my friends on Instagram and also Twitter, because there was an announcement that ICE was going to be in the area, and a lot of people were sharing out what to do if ICE was in your neighborhood or comes to your door. So I was very happy to see so many people spreading that information.
That is literally That's literally Plan F. So your friends were doing Plan F of my on
nice.
My list.
Look love
at your plans. Already engaged. They're already
so
doing
good.
It.
Yeah.
Plan F, report and document raids and arrests. So the National Immigration Law Center has suggested reporting raids to local hotlines such as United We Dreams, Migrant Watch, and Racist has urged that people verify any social media posts saying ICE has been spotted before sharing or retweeting them, just in case it's a false alarm. We don't want to spread fear in the immigrant communities, but definitely once you've verified, yes. Like Aneke's friends who've been doing, spread that information out so we can get that out there so people can be prepared.
Oh, so good.
What's after F? Because apparently this is also Plan F, so I lettered wrong.
Okay.
EFG. G. Plan G. This has been G rated. So this one is take care of yourself as usual. You have to put your own oxygen mask on first. And activism, there's a huge burnout in activism as well. And there's some great articles of the importance of self-care for activists and campaigners that will be on the... There's a mega article that we're going to leak that I can't think of the name of the blogger. I'm so sorry. This is terrible.
We'll link it. It's okay.
But there's a there's a main article. And we'll write main article. Definitely share this. This one's the Bible of what to do. And the person updates this blog page on the reg, so it has updated information, which is really helpful.
Why don't we just tweet out that major article too?
Oh, you're gonna tweet from Minority Corner.
Yeah, so I do want
to. I do want to pause though when saying take care of yourself. Now, it doesn't mean ooh, I just saw something on the news about kids in cages or the 60 Minutes special. Ooh, I just need to take care of myself and Netflix and chill with this joint and this bottle of wine. Ooh, gays night out. No, not that. I'm talking about take care of yourself when you're actually doing the work and doing the stuff. You know, some people are just ooh, I need to take care of. I'm bitch, you ain't done nothing.
God, that's funny.
And I get it. Everyone's, and it can seem so overwhelming. Everyone's busy. But imagine if each of us just took a little bit and said, every week I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. And you figure out what that something is, then, you know, we can chip away at this problem and not let it disappear into the dark, when then the darkness is where really terrible, terrible things can happen. Because, you know, I honestly think that there are probably a lot of good meaning, you know, Germans when the Jewish people were being taken away, who thought who were very busy and had their jobs. And
I was just going to say, when we are in the past, when this is over and, you know, knock on wood, let's hope that we're able to get through this. And your younger family members come up to you and go, what did you do? You can say, I did this. Instead of,
I waited for someone to do. Yeah. I was working and watched Netflix.
I was apathetic, you know?
And also, I'm so glad there wasn't any Netflix and a 40-hour work week during the days of slavery, because I'd still be in chains.
Ooh, fire coming in with the heat.
We're all busy, but I just think literally imagine yourself in that cage and you're hoping that someone is coming to save you and to rescue you and to put an end to that. And we have to be those people. We have to be those heroes. We have to step it up. So at first, ask yourself, have you been doing everything that you can do? I know I haven't. I'm going to be the first one to admit, but I want to put together a plan and see what I can really start doing to chip away at this. So we will link this.
And I love it. Thanks, James. This is so good.
We're going to get to work.
Yay. Yes.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
And so I have to write material that makes sense and makes people laugh. I also have to think about what I'm saying to people.
If I kick your ass, I'll make you famous.
The fight to get LGBTQ representation in the show.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
I really just became a political speechwriter by accident,
realizing that I have accidentally pulled my pants down.
Listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
It's like if the guinea pig was complicit in helping the scientist.
It's Aneke's corner. You're chilling with Aneke. She's got words she's going to say them out of her mouth.
racist anthropologist. Okay, so this corner came to me when I was watching TV. I've been watching a lot of TV because that's kind of what you do when you have a baby and you're just at home all the time.
She's got a baby.
And, you know, after watching a lot of Real Housewives and they're arguing, and when now my baby is starting to, like, pay attention to things, so I need to start watching things that aren't as aggressive and kind of scarring. You're like,
uh-oh, baby's watching this. She is learning. It's fine when they're, like, not paying attention, and then all of a sudden when they start, it's like,
you're like, who cares? Okay. I noticed it. She startled when one of the ladies yelled at the other lady, and I was like, okay. No, she's absorbing this. I need to watch something better. So, I decided to watch the National Geographic Channel, which I highly suggest. There's some great things on there.
Yes.
One of them was about, there was, like, a whole marathon about Egypt. And
I love Egypt.
Yeah, and, like, that... all of the different archaeologists and hidden stolen things and, you know, all of that sort of stuff, which is fascinating. Yeah. One thing stood out to me. It was, of course, the titles are so bullshit. It was Black Pharaoh's Hidden Secrets.
And there's the music is epic, and it's that man's voice. We're going into the tombs of the Black Pharaoh's of ancient Egypt.
So basically, what they were talking about in the non-dramatic, the science-y version of it, was the relationship between Egypt and Nubia. Which is a big, long, storied, amazing thing, which I could get into at a whole nother corner, because I think we should talk about Nubia at some point.
Next week, let's come back. I would love to, because I went to an Egypt Netflix documentary hole, and some things
you
about Egypt.
You probably watched some of this stuff,
In the Egypt and Nubia, a light was shined upon my eyes.
It's fascinating. Yeah. Well, one of the things, a lot of people don't really know much about Nubia, and this is because the archaeologists who were studying it at the time were racist.
Mm-hmm.
Notably, and they talked about it in this show, but I'll link an article that goes further into it, but there was an archaeologist, Harvard archaeologist George Reisner. He actually discovered dozens of pyramids and temples in Sudan, which is modern day Nubia. But this fucking asshole was like, they couldn't have done that because they were dark-skinned. And he attributed the sophisticated architecture to a light-skinned race.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a lot of, and it turns out in all the later research now shows that Nubians were amazing at gold work. They basically, that's where all of Egypt got their gold, was from Nubians.
Yeah.
And in the Sudan, they were craftsmen. They were just amazing at everything that they did. But we don't know that because of racist fucking assholes blocking that information. George Reisner, I'm looking at you, you fucking racist asshole blocking information.
And a lot of their history and stuff was also destroyed. Because of also racism, power, and control.
Exactly. So that got me thinking, let me research some other times archaeologists, which is a lot, and I could go on forever, but this is just a quick little taster for you guys out there to research some more and really understand that professors like archaeology need some close inspection, because bias in archaeologists can affect the way that we view a whole society of people.
Sure. Yeah. These archaeologists would probably drop the N-word during a game of Taboo. So
they would. Okay. So the first one that I want to look into is an interesting article that I'm going to link as well. But so basically in the 19th and early 20th century, archaeologists, they visited Africa. They were going up and down, looking at all the different things in there, you know. And they never recorded same-sex relationships. And you've touched on this in the past, but I wanted to also just reiterate, there were notable love affairs between men. Also, women had same-sex love affairs. There was practices of relationships among young people where it's like, oh, I'm going to have a practice relationship, and it's going to be with the same sex. And even in some societies, men would have anal sex as part of a ritual magic ceremony.
Mm-hmm. And kind
which
of
I
similar,
think is awesome.
It's kind of similar to also like the with the Greeks too. They would bring, they would get like a young mm-hmm. boy, and they would sort of, you know, their oh, yeah. journey into manhood.
So that basically, and what I'm bringing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the archaeologists who were then studying these different cultures, they basically chalked up same-sex relationships to a form of a culture being too decadent, because that's how they saw Greek culture as being too decadent. And when they would see same-sex relationships in some of these cultures, they would blame it on outside outside cultures and say, oh, they're corrupting these, you know, like whatever native earthly people, like, and they would blame it on like Arabs or whatever, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
And I hate that shit, because then it's starting a hierarchy, starting racism, starting all the different layers that really falls under white supremacy.
Yeah. And you know what it is? What it really is what happens is sometimes dudes just want dick. And sometimes some ladies just want some vajayjay. And that's
hella
it.
Easy.
And we're
easy.
Done. I don't need done. No degree to tell me that.
Wrap it up in a bow. Send it off on a little, I don't know, bottle in the ocean. Tell the people.
Message in the bottle.
Message
here
in
you
a
go.
Bottle. So the people started to, in 1970s, that's when a lot of European and American anthropologists started to acknowledge various same-sex relationships in sub-Saharan Africa. And this was not a coincidence, but it happened during the decolonization of Africa. So, hello. That's when, like, let's stop colonization. Like, right. I really want to hammer in the fact. I want everyone to understand the colonization is bad.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yeah. And these countries are still reeling from everything that's happening. And, like, again, like, based on what you're saying, I mean, there's, in a lot of these countries, they can't even have, you know, pride parades because
some of the most homophobic rulings in government stuff is because of the colonization of European
yes,
right. countries.
Yeah, and because now when you have like the UN saying, okay, you can't be mean to LGBT people, they see that as another form of colonization, so they're pushing against it because you mind fucked
yeah,
them. You absolutely
exactly.
like really fucked over this entire culture and people, and they're just trying to rebuild, and you've created a terrible situation, colonizers.
Awful. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
So, the second thing that I'm going to bring
up. Yes. Who are we putting our gaze on to next?
In 1904, there was a competition dubbed the Anthropology Days.
Ooh.
And it was designed to test the physical abilities of primitive indigenous people.
God, anthropologists are the worst.
I know. So, the white organizers presumed that competitors were less intelligent. They thought that their close connections to the natural world might give them a physical advantage. I would like to just point that out, because a lot of people will be like, ooh, they are like, oh, black people are superior at like playing basketball or whatever, because it's like, ooh, they have like strong bodies, but not strong. That is some fucking bullshit racist things that have been instilled to you by racist anthropologists creating
mm-hmm.
that culture.
Mm-hmm.
So this racist ass Olympics happened in 1904 during the same time as the World Fair that was happening in 1904.
Ugh.
And I've always kind of felt weird about the World Fair. And
me
I didn't
too.
Really know why I felt weird about the World Fair.
I feel like they always just kind of, you hear a lot of terrible shit that comes out of the World Fairs. Like, yay, the Eiffel Tower. But there always
yeah.
is like, you know, Venus Hottentot was paraded around like one of the World Fairs. Like, there's always some.
Oh, yeah. Hello. The 1904 World Fair had villages
Ugh.
Of a human zoo.
See?
That had thousands of primitive, I put in quotes.
Oh, no, yeah, I can see your quotes.
Yeah,
jeez.
Okay, good. I just know people listening, I'm doing quotes.
She's doing
I don't
air
actually
quotes.
Think these people
She's
are primitive.
Air quoting. The World Fair. And like, literally,
so,
what that is, it's a circus. Like, that's
a circus.
Like, it's a circus, but you're calling it the World
mm-hmm.
fucking Fair.
Yeah, so basically, they borrowed some people from the World Fair.
This is terrible.
And they had a special. I'm laughing because
it's
we would
so
be
messed
crying.
Up.
It's so fucked up.
We're not laughing. We're crying. You know.
Yes. Okay. So a special 2-day Olympics, racist Olympics, pitting the quote unquote
oh,
savages against
God.
One another in both classic sporting events like track and field and events assumed indigenous people would have a predisposition towards.
Oh my God.
Get this. Ready for the predisposition towards that indigenous people would have? Stone throwing, mud fights, and blowgun shooting.
Really? We can't do any shot put? We can't do any hurdles? We can't play football? We can't play soccer?
You want to know who the ringleader of all this bullshit was?
P.T. Barnum and Bailey.
Basically. Dr. W. J. McGee, a well-respected scholar, president of the newly established American Anthropology Association.
President fuck you, McGee.
Of the Anthropology Association, head of the Department of Anthropology at the St. Louis World's Fair. So basically, Dr. McGee, I'm not even gonna give you that doctor because you don't deserve it.
You don't.
Mr. McGee believed that because indigenous people lived in harmony with nature, they were endowed with special strengths and abilities that white people simply didn't have. Wow. Indians had marvelous endurance as long distance runners, he asserted. Black South Africans had boundless stamina. Filipinos had remarkable climbing and divers. And native men of Patagonia were agile and muscular. Where did he get this from? He just pulled this from his asshole.
And it's also just like his like warped fantasy. He's literally a racist McGee.
Yes.
And, like, it just, like, and that's the thing, as you're telling me this, like, I remember back in college, I took an anthropology class, but it was about the media. So it wasn't really an anthropology class. But even my anthropology teacher was saying, this is a dying study and it's mostly racist. And she was like, one of the heads of the department. And I'm now thinking, I'm like, oh my God, if there are still anthropology departments, I'm sorry if you're an anthropology major, get out. Like, I think we.
Or
I think,
just check it. Check it.
I think we need
check
to.
It, check it. Check
well, that's
it.
What I think we need to re-examine everything because I feel like anthropology was built on racism, and so we need to re-examine every anthropology book that's out there. We need to redo all the research
because it's filtered through the lens of the bias that the anthropologist has,
as opposed to just have a culture like ask them questions and they'll tell you
and
about
then just
how
document
it works.
It.
And that's
you know
it.
What the job of an anthropologist should be. Pressing the tape recorder,
that's
melding
it.
Into the background.
Actually, then we should just make it should just be a documentary department. Let's just form anthropologists should just all become documentarians.
Bullshit.
And
well, so just to follow up on this 1904 racist Olympics.
Ooh, God.
The participants didn't really perform like the white people wanted them to do.
Yeah, because they're not.
They were
like
they didn't one probably didn't speak the language, so they didn't understand the rules of the games.
Yeah.
So they would just stop in the middle and be like, "What are we doing?
What is
happening?" Didn't want to perform. They're like, "Why are we doing this? Don't want to do that." And three, a lot of the people that showed up for the mud fights were in their fancy clothes, and they were like, "We don't want to get dirty."
Yeah, not doing it. Sorry, I'm here. They're like, "I'm here networking at this fancy ass event," and. I came
Why
here for
am I doing this?
I came here for the free boat entertainment. There was that show. There was that Shakespeare show that I was like, I'm not going to go to the theater to go see it, but I'll wait till it's on this boat.
Ugh, it's awful. So basically, that's just my quick little corner on how anthropology is racist and grave-stealing people.
Can be all kinds of riled up. All right, anthropologists, go check yourself. You and Lady
check
H,
yourself.
Go check yourself. We're having a meeting in the ladies' room. We'll be back real soon. Oof, my butthole is unclenched.
Yes, you can relax. No more World's Fair.
Anytime the World Fair comes, I'm like, ugh. Like, something bad's going
to
happen.
Because you know some shit's about to happen where people acting foul.
Yes. And on one hand, I wish we just still, I feel like we could maybe do a World Fair better today because we know more. And
does
some
that
beautiful,
shit still happen?
No, we can't get our shit together anymore. But some great, but there's like, but it's great because like some, there's always like things left over from the World's Fair. Like I think what the Space Needle was for the World's Fair. Like we used to like make things and now we don't like make architectural fun art pieces.
Wonders or whatever.
There's no more wonders. There's not, no one's wondering about anything. And I think, you know what? This world could use a little bit more wonder. Okay.
Yeah. And it needs to be like really cool wonders. Like the San Francisco skyline has been ruined by the Salesforce building. I'm just gonna say it. I'm sorry.
That's true.
It's gigantic. It There's looks a like giant a giant dildo
standing in the middle of the city.
You can see it everywhere, protruding into your view.
It's everywhere. I'm in Vallejo. I'm on the ferry boat coming from Vallejo, and I can see it peeking its little tip, just the tip,
exactly
over the mountains. It's like,
and
hey,
that's the
it's
latest
me.
Thing that's like supposed to be so awe-inspiring, and it's an ugly ass dick shaped building. Give us something beautiful. Give
well,
us something.
We
awesome.
We only make structures now if it has like a practical use, and it's like sometimes we just need to make a weird metal thing that
tower with
a big
light
tower.
On top.
I know, yeah, which is exactly. With a light on top. Do you know funny story that it was supposed to come down? It was supposed to come down. I think it was supposed to come down, but then World War One happened.
Okay,
and then after World
the
War One, they didn't
tower?
Have any. Yeah, okay. And then. Or is it that is World War? What wars kept happening? They're like, we're gonna take it down. Oh shit, it's a war, and they're like, okay, we're gonna take it down. Now, oh damn, it's a war. And then they never had money. It costs money to take those things down.
Oh.
And then after World War II, Americans started being tourists of the world. And they're like, wait a minute, these fuckers
like
want to spend money to come and see this. Okay, let's keep this up and make some money. And that's what happened.
You know what? They were smart. They kept it up. At some point, I would like to see the Eiffel Tower, so I hope they still keep it up.
I've been to the very top. It's frightening.
I was going to say, like, you live your life, man. Because
you're like,
you know
I'm
what?
In this thing that was built in like early, like forever ago, what, early 1900s, late 1800s, and was meant to be an art piece, not to stay forever. Why are we up here?
And you're like teetering up at the top? No, thanks. I would happily like to stay at the base.
Thank and there's this area like on the second rim of it where... Mm-hmm. You can stand and it's like a glass like floor and it's like,
no,
look, you're standing,
you.
You're standing on this glass and you can look down. Isn't this
yuck.
Fun? It's not. It
That's
was not
that
fun.
Sounds, there's a lot. They like to throw that in a lot of different places.
Where you don't need it. You're like, why?
No.
Look down. Look. It's like you're floating. Look, you can see your death right below you. Is the glass going to stay? I don't know. Isn't this fun? Did you pay us $20? Wee!
There is a bridge somewhere. I want to say somewhere in Asia.
To nowhere?
I don't know. And it's a glass bridge. And one of the panels
that.
Is like a computer-generated thing that cracks when you step on it.
Why?
I don't know.
Why do I need that? Why do I need
know.
That in my life?
I don't know.
Can we get these kids out of these cages, please? Like, why
yes,
do I need
we,
that in
yeah,
my life?
Yeah, we need that. We don't
you know?
Need that
like, oh God. Anyways, well,
it was a good show.
That was we took you through everything. I think
everything.
There was no stone left unturned today.
We
so.
Turned them all over.
Stones
what's under
over.
Here? The N word. Turn it back over.
What's over here, Black Ariel? All right, see
okay,
you.
Okay, keep that lifted up like that.
What's over here? Racist archaeologist. Okay.
Turn that back over. No,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All the stones left unturned. Bette Midler?
Well,
To be continued. I'm going to skip that stone.
You can tweet
water.
At us at Minority
oh, yeah.
Corner.
Business.
Corner spelled with a K.
It show is, has been, always has been, and always will be.
Yes.
And you can also write us a review on iTunes. It's so
yes.
great because it helps people find us. And mm-hmm. also, this is a great episode to share out to your friends and folks because
yeah, this is a fun
share,
one.
Well, and sharing out the important information about what we all can do to help stop these concentration camps.
Yes.
So let's all be on the right side of history, please. And look at the articles. Definitely save the articles. Share out the articles. Let's get her done.
Let's do it.
And a big thank you all to listen for listening to Minority Corner Season 5.
Because together,
we're the majority.
The majority. Wow, it's doing good for Season 5. Look at
okay,
us.
Okay, I see you.
I see you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.